Hello, everyone, and welcome to another expert interview at the Innovation and Creativity Summit 2017. Very happy to have Paul Hopcroft, a good friend and colleague of mine, on the line today. And Paul is the founder of Agility Innovation and an avid blogger on the subject of innovation and a specialist on what's called the Three Horizons Innovation Framework, which we're going to talk about today. Paul, it's wonderful having you here.
Thanks, Nick, for the introduction and welcome to everybody.
So for people who don't know you or the work that you do, can you just give us a brief background as to how you got into innovation?
Yeah. It started nearly 15 years ago. I was based in Singapore and I was doing an MBA. And in the final year of the MBA, I had a choice of what subjects I wanted to finally study. And innovation was one of those. So I chose it. I got utterly, completely hooked on the subject. And since then, it's just driven the rest of my work. So for 15 years, I've just progressively got more and more into the subject of innovation. In recent years, I've moved back into Switzerland. I got more into avid blogging, as you said, in the last few years, because one of the things I've found is as you study and get into innovation deeper and deeper, you can go all over the place. And I find that the blog gives me license to go everywhere else. I have a business that is a consulting, advisory, mentoring business, which is the source of where I sort of try to drive my writing and also where I obviously try to bring in my clients. And I've been doing that now progressively, say, for the last 6 or 7 years here. And it's very much still a great passion of mine, as well as obviously the business that I'm in.
Absolutely. And I'm very happy to have you again. We've spoken previously on podcasts, but today I really want to get into detail on the Three Horizons framework. And because it's unlike a lot of the other expert interviews we've done, the Three Horizons framework is quite visual in the way that you think through problems. So we've got a couple of slides we're going to bring up today. And during that time, you and I can continue having a chat. But what I'm going to do now for all the viewers and listeners is to just bring up those slides so we can get into a bit more detail on the Three Horizons framework and what it actually is.
Okay. Do you want to shoot off, Nick, or shall I start going?
You can go ahead.
Okay, look, I want to look at specifically the Three Horizons framework in an innovation perspective. Three Horizons have been written by a lot of people, but I focus on it very specifically within the innovation space. Before we get into this opening template, which is in front of you, I'd just like you to consider this. We very much are working in our business as usual environment. And believe it or not, there lies the seeds of destruction. Because if you think about it, the present is always in decline. My second point is, as a context for about this opening template, is the future never stays the same. It is always restless and it needs drawing out. The Three Horizons is a framework that allows you to draw out the future. We actually go about and subvert the future because we prolong the life of the existing, and that comes back to our business as usual. My fourth and final point here is innovation does get caught up in this whole subversion. We stay locked into a one-dimensional mindset. What we're trying to do with this opening Three Horizons framework is to get people to be comfortable to think about it in a different way. So in this opening template, you've got three horizons. You've got horizon one, which is you clarify how to identify the existing, the prevailing or the dominant system you're in from an innovation perspective and the challenges to sustainability into the future. It can be the restrictor to the future. It can be the catalyst to the future. What you will see is a box below this, which says, the signals of horizon three, which is the future, are made up of very weak signals that currently are operating or around you in your current environment. It is these weak signals that you need to pick up on, because they're the ones that are either going to disrupt your business, or they're going to be the ones that you can design purposefully to take forward, so you're better positioned in Horizon 3 for that future, because you've picked up and you've amplified those weak signals. What you tend to do is you look always within the three horizons as actually you go Horizon 1, you go Horizon 3, and then you go back to Horizon 2. And I'll explain that a little bit more later. But Horizon 3 is your future, is where you think you want to go as an organization. It's the ideal place. It's where you desire. It's the emerging options of how you go about in the future. So Horizon 1 is very much today's business. And what we do in today's business is we put an emphasis on the exploiting. What Horizon 3 is really the exploring environment. It's the environment of the future. So you have to go through a discovery and experimenting phase. Now we come into Horizon 2, which is the expand. It's the one that you need to expand your capabilities. You need to expand your understanding. It's where you draw out the tensions and dilemmas between vision and reality. Reality is today, vision is the tomorrow. And you then determine the distinction between the two. Because what you're trying to do is in this Horizon 2 is begin to navigate your way through. So you see three lines here. You see a green line, you see a red line, and a blue line. It's got a one on the red line. What that means is today's business will be beginning to decline. The green line is saying that the future business, which you're picking up some sort of signals that there's a change taking place, is going to accelerate and it's going to become your future business. And the blue line is the navigating through the pathway. So that's why it goes up and down, is because as you learn about what it is you're trying to move towards as a future, you will obviously absorb, you will explore, you'll exploit, and then obviously it will settle down into being far more of the way you're going to run your business going forward. So the opening template is explaining very much the three horizons and how that works. So exploit and extract is in Horizon 1. Expand and extend is Horizon 2. Explore and evolve is Horizon 3. Now, the big idea about this whole thing is, as I say, it positions you for the future. It enables you to start walking through different patterns of activity that you need to consider. We so get engaged in our incremental innovation, the business as usual. We often ignore that future, those weak signals. So you are able through this three horizons to map out those shifts and those patterns in a way. So it becomes a portfolio planning. It becomes a sort of a way to structure your business going forward. But for me, and the most important part of what we're going to be discussing in this session is the dialoguing framework. And I will be spending this time on what I mean by a dialoguing framework. So, Nick, if we move on, have you got any points you would like to make?
I just think it's been a perfect introduction, just so people get the main crux of what the lines are trying to indicate here. Over time, as you go from Horizon 1 into Horizon 3 via Horizon 2, the lines represent how strong a strategic fit for the company the ideas and projects and products and all of those innovation things are at that moment in time. So in the very near term, the Horizon 1 projects are the best strategic fit, and the third Horizon ones are a bit of a way off. But you need to be aware that in the future, those third Horizon ones are going to develop into the most important ones for the business. And that's why the graph shows how they change over time.
Without a doubt. And the other point it also indicates the type of resource allocation you will be doing over time. So majority of your resource today from an innovation perspective is to maintain the business, strengthen the core, deliver shareholder return, hence why the red line is much higher. But progressively, as you focus out on the future and you change those resources and you change where your business is going, the whole resource begins to move up into those horizon three. So yes, it is a time one. It's also a resource one, and it's a strategic one. So that's the reason why I don't put tags to both of those lines, because it's the way you interpret the conversation you wish to have for people to recognize that Horizon 1's activities fade away, Horizon 3's come up and strengthen, and Horizon 2 supports the change and then obviously sort of settles down into the middle room.
Now, Paul, what do you mean by what's on screen now, the dialogue framework and specifically these disruption points between the various horizons?
It comes back to we can either be disrupted or we go out there consciously to disrupt the marketplace ourselves. And there are always points where this happens. It could happen very quickly because a competitor comes into the market with a very different type of product offering, and they then become the disruptor. So the first disruption point is when you need to sort of think about, well, how am I going to counter that? So the activity you do, Horizon 2, Horizon 3, gets larger and more important because you've got to counter that disruption point. Further down the line, you'll get different types of disruption. You'll get emerging technology disruptions. You'll get market changes that are taking place. So all the way through, as you talk and discuss three horizons, and it's not a static discussion. It's a dynamic, evolving discussion. You constantly look for where the possible disruption points are, and I've just illustrated them here. So the crossover points are, you should be equipping yourself and getting ready for those disruption crossover points with the activity you're trying to build and do. So your Horizon 2 activity and your Horizon 3 activity should be being prepared to manage that disruption or be prepared to move quickly into that sort of disruption.
And I think one of that all works perfectly in theory, but a lot of companies, if they try and implement this, they're going to face a few roadblocks on the way. And one of the things I'm keen to talk about today is those roadblocks. And one of them you've already mentioned is the need for different voices and discussion frameworks to help see things coming and to prepare for those.
Yes. As I said, today's really session is all about voices, mind traps, and getting comfortable with this being a dialoguing framework, not a portfolio structure framework or resource allocation or even a time framework. This is more to do with how do we get more comfortable with each other? Because when you get people around a table, if you get six people who are pure operators, they're going to worry about what it is that affects them today in their operation environment. If you're trying to change the thinking and move it out into a more futuristic one, what you've got to try to do is allow for a greater diversity within the boardroom or within the discussions, so you get different types of voices of people. So within, as you can see with it on this chart, you've got three types. You've got the managerial voice of today, the operating voice, the guy that focuses on saying, I want to keep the lights on in the business. I need to focus on incremental. I need to keep my business profitable. But he needs to be balanced off with the second horizon person, which is the one who's far more entrepreneurial, eager to make transitional steps, ones that's willing to take on a higher risk, ones that are willing to push where we are today as a business and push it out into the future. And then you've got the third voice in the room, that you need to find, which is the aspirational voice, the visionary, the one who wants to explore uncertainty and who's prepared to sort of say, well, we need to look at the future a lot harder because it's coming towards us. So if you don't get each of those voices within a room, you're going to get trapped in a very specific way. So we need to pick up on what we see as signals by each of the types of voices in the room and then begin to get into this dialogue. So these three distinct voices, they bring together three, what I call, different modes of awareness into the conversation. They need to be treated equally and they need to be given equal time so you can balance them out. The important part is the person that's facilitating the discussion needs to make sure they give all good opportunity. That's a critical part of what it is. So you need to get those voices into the same room. If we could move on to the next slide. Or if you've got a comment, Nick.
I mean, everything you talked about there makes perfect sense to me.
Moving on to this slide, the future doesn't stay the same. When you've got these three horizons, horizon one, horizon two, horizon three, when you begin to move a business away from your knowns, your established procedures, your established innovation activities, you get yourself more and more into the zone of what I call uncertainty. And this is where you need quite a set of strong leadership. You need somebody who's going to be able to sort of recognize and facilitate people, because risk is one of the greatest inhibitors to innovation. And if we can encourage risk, if we can formulate around that zone, that horizon two zone, that there is a need and a wish to go out there and to do some more experimentation, you can unleash a significant amount of change. So the dominant force you want to try and dampen down, you want to amplify this weaker signal, and you want to go into this zone of uncertainty. Now, the best way to tackle that zone of uncertainty is to break it down actually into two parts, into an H2 minus and an H2 plus. An H2 minus is I'm sustaining and improving my existing business. I'm advancing it because I'm learning. I've got new methods. So for instance, I could be going very much into more and more customer dialoguing, which I've not done in my existing business, but in that zone, I need to go there because customers are going to become increasingly more vocal and increasingly more important for my future, because they're going to be giving me more feedback. They're going to be giving me more of what I need to understand and how to react. So I need to do some experiment. I need to do some sustaining, some improving. So I need to bring up my understanding of customer dialogue. I need to sort of just experiment there. But then within that horizon two zone, you've got what I call the H2 plus. The H2 plus is, what is it I'm learning that is taking me into my transformational H3 zone? And I need to recognize both of them. And I need to then bring them into clearly a comfort part for this. So it's an incredibly difficult one to manage. And we must not apply zone two into the same metrics as zone one. It needs its new one. So for instance, you could be starting up an innovation lab. You don't apply the same metrics as you would to somebody who is moving innovation through a well-established system. You are, excuse me, please, a second. Sorry about that. It's the phone wouldn't switch off, so it might come back on even again. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So that's really where I want to go on this one, is to make a great emphasis. It is the greatest zone of uncertainty. You need a lot of leadership there. You need a lot of encouragement. You need people to really get comfortable, experiment, pivot, dialogue, see that they're trying to support not only the existing business, which supports people that are doubtful about the future, but it also encourages that transformation. And the next slide. So the problem with this middle zone is you've got to get out of your existing thinking. And the what I call the four devious mind traps here are we do as organizations see ourselves very much, we get fixed in the status quo. We are comfortable in what we're doing, in where we are. We think we understand the markets. We know our competitors. And suddenly that can change. So status quo is a very, very dangerous mindset to stay stuck into. The second one is much of our thinking does stay short term because it dominates because of stakeholder returns, shareholder returns, the fact we measure a company usually on a financial year. So we're always looking for our innovations to be developed in a particular year's period. Those are dangerous positions. So we need to try and open up our thinking as we go into that zone two, into saying there is a longer term we need to. We need to dampen down our short-term thinking. We need to think and experiment a little bit more. And that might be with a little bit more longer-term thinking. It could well be that as we become more digital in our future, this could be a 2 to 3 year journey. So we need to get into a different type of thinking set. The third one is we do far too much incremental innovation. That's another mindset trap. We don't want to explore radical innovation. We don't want to explore distinctive innovations. We don't want to do transformational innovation because most of our companies rather discourage that, or they put it into a small little group of people that have got the responsibilities for that. That is good in some respects, but it limits people because if people aren't engaged in that radical transformational environment, yet they are part of the discussions, they will hold you back. So you've got this third devious mindset trap. And the fourth one is we sometimes have just a real ignorance of what it means in change, in its rate and its impact, because we sometimes don't survey enough our competitors. We don't scan the market enough. We tend to sort of do a once a year annual review. We tend not to sort of then say, well, that's done. Let's not do it for the next 12 months. A lot can happen very, very quickly. And to some degree, it is our ignorance of not being curious, not being sort of looking out to question where this might go, where it might take the market, where it might take us within the market. We then deny ourselves this opportunity to think and develop out more futuristic innovation activities. So there is these four devious mindsets, which we really need to be very, very careful about.
I think what I'm especially keen to talk about is incorporated in this next slide, which is the concept of the three horizons. It's going to be different for different types of companies and the way they approach innovation and the way they approach resource allocation and people allocation and time and all of those things. It's not a sort of one size fits all solution. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Nick. What I've tried to do here is each company that I've put down here actually has a very different understanding of what innovation means to them. And it gets quite interesting. So if you take company three, for example, it says my horizon one will be the incremental innovation that I'm doing. My horizon two, though, is I'm going to be doing more platform innovation. And horizon three, I want to look for more breakthrough activity that's coming out of that platform activity. In company six, we are saying, hang on, I'm not so adventurous. I'm incremental again, but I'm pushing out. I want more substantial innovation as part of my growth strategy. And I would like to get to a point that we start thinking about in Horizon 3 more transformational information. But to get there, I need to get more encouraged. I need to sort of, you know, get more comfortable most of risk taking. And if you look at maybe another one, it could be Company 9 here. All I want to do with innovation is I want to keep aligning it. I want to align it to my strategic positioning. But I want to change that because I think I'm missing out. So my horizon two is I need to actually start developing some white space projects. So that's what I'm going to do is my emphasis within horizon two. And then in my third horizon, which is the gray space, the spaces that are in between the blacks of today, the white spaces that I'm seeing, the ones that might be real opportunity spaces that become aligned to what I'm doing, but also can put some sort of, you know, shades of new color into my white space projects that I'm working on. So each person and each company can look at horizon framework in a different way. Now, to help them do that and to help them work through that, you do need a common language. And I would really urge people to look at my website here because there's a lot of thinking and writing I've done on the three horizons. So if you go into the insights and thinking page on pool4innovation.com, four is the number four, so it's pool4innovating.com. And if you either do in the search three horizons, it will throw up all the papers, or if you go into the insights and thinking page that is in a tab above. But there's a particular document I would draw to people's attention, which is providing a common language in its innovation use. What I have really sat down and thought through is how we can get everybody, these different voices, from thinking in one way and to actually recognize common language that they can talk if they're talking horizon one versus horizon two versus horizon three. Equally, I've designed a common set of metrics that will give you an enormous starting point for seeing horizon one differently from horizon two and horizon three. So I would really recommend that is a key document that I think would give a very strong anchoring to what we've been discussing here.
Perfect. Paul, I'm going to bring myself back up on screen now so we can have more of a chat on some of the concepts we've talked about.
Right.
Hi. So hello again. thanks so much for that insight. I think a lot of people, once they finally see the ethos behind the three horizons, and especially the visual aspects of the three lines changing over time, it makes a lot more sense about how you need to think of innovation in the long term. Because a lot of people, they want tips about how you can innovate now with the problems you're currently facing and generate solutions to your current problems. But it's just as important to think about, well, where is the business going to be in 5 years' time? Where is the industry going to be in 5 years' time? And I think the fact that if you look at the graph and the third horizon at any moment in time when you look at it, it's going to be a very weak signal. It's going to not be very clear about what exactly it means right now. When you actually get executives to think about the fact that, yes, it might be weak now, but it's going to get more important in the future, that can really shift a company's attitude towards how they think of innovation.
Absolutely. I mean, you take digital activity taking place now, the digital transformation we're all in. Our organization is getting around a table and talking this out, not only in what it's doing to their current business, which is where they're spending an enormous amount of their money, you know, catching up and trying to get it correct for digitalization. But of course, it's pausing for a moment and saying, well, we need to do a lot more thinking going forward about what this might imply and where it might take us. I do quite a lot of work on platform and ecosystems. So you could argue that today's discussions might be around how do we digitalize what we've got in product offering. The next Horizon 2 discussion could be, well, how do we look around and say, well, what type of platform should we be on? What type of activity should we be doing that brings in more people into the conversation, outside people, more open innovation, and through the technology ability that platforms give us? And then in Horizon 3, as we've got more and more comfortable with those new partnerships and those new collaborators, we strengthen our whole ecosystem, and we've drawn in the customer, we've drawn in a whole host of different people that we never saw possible in Horizon 1 are suddenly possibly emerging. Now, you can have that discussion around the table today, but you've got to open up your thinking from that, the immediate, you know, keep ourselves with the lights on, worry about today's product, we need to think about tomorrow. So this Horizon 3 gives you all sorts of opportunities, multiple opportunities. So you could say, I want to put all of my innovation out into a clear platform, into a clear portfolio. I'm going to put that in a portfolio of these three time horizons. I need to do a three horizons assessment of my resources. Are they capable of managing in those three different horizons? What am I missing? What's the gap analysis? Can I take out my conversation into the company? And how can I do that? I can do that through the three horizon dialogue. I can explain that we've got to think about the future a lot more. Here's some of our thinking. Here's what I think. Can you contribute to this? How are you going to add to this? So there's a whole scope of ways we can use the three horizon framework. So that opening, I understand, a very simple diagram, it becomes very rich in what you can actually do with it, possibility. And it does move us from staying fixed in today's environment.
One question I have is, if you're looking at these weak signals for what might be important strategically in the future, a lot of companies are very bad at predicting the future. In fact, every company is bad at predicting the future, otherwise those companies would be ruling the world. So what advice do you have to companies who are basically afraid of investing in an innovation that they just don't know enough about, but that might be important in the future? In Horizon 3?
I think that where we seem to be going, and that's encouraging, is that innovation labs have become quite an important part going forward for a number of companies. They've recognized that they should get a team of people that are maybe a little bit more specialist, a little bit more entrepreneurial, and give them an encouragement to go out there and to explore and experiment. But to some degree, wrap it around so it becomes a safer environment, so it doesn't have immediate impact on what you're offering to the world or what the world can see. You're working behind the scenes. I think more and more companies are finding a path to Silicon Valley, so they can actually see what entrepreneurs are doing and whatever else. And they're encouraging entrepreneur environment. They're encouraging a lot more the prototyping. They're encouraging a lot more activities that gives greater encouragement. It gives a greater giving down to the person responsible an opportunity to explore. And I think the advice I give is to recognize that if you can have the type of conversation where they recognize Horizon 2 and Horizon 3 needs to be discussed, you can actually start putting forward tools and techniques that people will say, okay, I'm comfortable with you to start exploring in Horizon 2 this, and this idea, because over time, this might become amplified from that weak signal, that something that we saw was there, and recognize that actually it's going to become very important to our business going forward, like digital, like for instance in the food business, the way that food tastes may change. So it could well be that today's concern about obesity, now that's not a weak signal, that's a signal that we can see in front of our eyes. But at the same time, what we should be picking up is what it is that people are trying to do to reduce that, and how can we bring that into our business activity? So by looking out and saying, well, take a theme like obesity, which has got a signal to it, but we're maybe not addressing it as much in our business today, how do we map that out for the future? So it gives us greater opportunities in innovation through Horizon 2 and Horizon 3.
Perfect, Paul. We're coming up to the end of the interview, unfortunately. But what I like to ask all the experts is, if you've got one tip or one piece of actionable insight that people can try out either this afternoon or over the course of the next week to get some value out of the concepts we've talked about today, what would you recommend they try out?
I would take one or two of those slides and just gather one or two people in the same room and actually work through it, and then for them to be able to see how so much diversity comes out of, you know, surprisingly, your colleagues, because suddenly the colleagues feel more empowered to be able to talk about Horizon 2 and talk about Horizon 3. They become the visionary, they become the entrepreneur, they become the voice that you've actually most probably kept dampened down. So I would experiment within your own team, broaden it out progressively. And I think you'll find that once you get comfortable with looking at that language that I've recommended, that common language and those metrics, you can actually get really very comfortable to be able to take it out into a bigger audience, beyond then your team, into then your management team. And then, you know, suddenly it gets a whole new life that everybody else wants to start talking through Horizons because they see the power behind it. It opens up the dialogue, which is what I wanted to say. You can begin to get conversation going, and that's important.
Perfect. For people who want to find out more about you and the work that you do, we're going to have links to your resources on screen. You've mentioned paulforinnovating.com already. Are there any other links that we're going to show people that you recommend they go and check out?
Yes, I would like you to also do two or three other links. I have a company website, which is www.agilityinnovation.com. I have another company website, which actually looks at everything around innovation. It doesn't look at the innovation service specifically. It looks at creating the right environment. And that's called www.hockerconsulting.com. I think if you go there, on each of those sites, it's got all the links anyway. But I think if you go and put those links up, Nick, I'd appreciate that.
Perfect. It's been wonderful having you here, and I look forward to speaking again with you soon.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for the time.
Congratulations on being part of the Innovation and Creativity Summit. I'm sure that if you continue to watch the other expert interviews, you will experience an improvement in your capability to turn your ideas into something valuable. But don't forget, to get the very best experience and ensure you don't miss any of the priceless lessons, you should invest in yourself with the All Access Pass. Not only will this give you exclusive lifetime access to watch all the lessons whenever is best for you, you will also get all the interviews as downloadable audio files so you can learn on the go, full transcripts so you can read and analyze the great advice and tips, and exclusive bonuses not available to anyone else. Click the link below to get your All Access Pass now.